Boys.
The Novos.
New FM.
Get that feel-good Friday feeling.
Oh, I've got the feel-good Friday feeling, gang. How you guys doing today?
Let's get it. Oh, I'm excited. Indeed. I'm up and about.
You know what the best thing about Friday is? Only a couple of days away from Monday. New week. Here we go.
Stop that.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. What are you guys up to on the weekend? Any big plans?
Yeah, I'm working.
Oh, that's good. Making money. I like that. You know I'm all about that hustle culture, right? Stephen, what are you up to?
I don't know. I think it'd be a bit of arts and crafts tomorrow, which
really?
Would be exciting. Yeah, I think we're going to the shops.
Yeah.
I think we're doing handmade gifts this year as like a family. So I've got to go and like figure out something I'm making, do a little bit of,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah, get me apron on, me creative hat and start, I don't know, working on Christmas presents.
While I do think you'll make an excellent macaroni necklace, my main concern for you, Stephen, is that if you are doing arts and crafts as a family, that means you're getting handmade gifts as well.
I trust them. I trust them.
Do ya?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you reckon you're going to get?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's about the thought.
Oh, I don't know. I disagree with that. I think real gifts are better with money. Buy them with money. That's the way to do it.
It doesn't necessarily save money.
Well,
to make
that's even decision. Worse then, because you have to spend time making it and you don't get anything good.
Yeah, but it's made with love.
Well, okay. Well, you can have those ones.
Okay.
I'll have something nice. Good morning, Jess. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
You want a macaroni necklace for Christmas?
I'd love one. Yeah. Handmade. All full right. of love.
I'll put you on the list. Would you like cooked or uncooked macaroni on your necklace?
Uncooked, thanks.
Okay, uncooked. Can no
we,
stress.
Can we tell your partner as well that he doesn't have to spend money?
No, don't be silly.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't
thank
be
you.
Ridiculous.
I'm glad there's a bit more common sense in this building today. What's on for your weekend?
Not a lot for the first time in ages, so gonna live it up.
Hang on, wait, you're not emceeing an event?
No work, no emceeing.
Wow, an actual weekend off for Jess.
What Kat said, that's amazing.
Sleep-ins.
Woo! That is good.
No alarms, can't wait.
Everyone buzzing for their weekend, and that's what we're all about here on a Feel Good Friday.
The Novos.
The Novos. I
feel good Friday.
And it is a feel-good Friday, but I feel like I've been mugged off a little bit, team.
What's happened?
I just need to consult with the, you know, with you two.
Oh, yeah, the Brains Trust.
Last week, shaved me head off, right? It was Wednesday last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was an absolute stinker. I thought, you know what, it's going to be such a hot summer, I might as well get something a bit lighter for the warm weather.
Wise.
And since then, all the time has been cold and rainy and miserable.
Ah, it's this.
It's
and I use
cold.
The 66-90-90 global warming hasn't shown up, has it?
Well, I don't know. It's just been so, like,
it's
miserable.
A conspiracy like COVID.
Oh, well, okay, now let's be careful here. Gotta see much as
no, for those listening at home, Crivo is joking.
He's an absolute winder. But I feel like I've been wound up by this weather. No good. And hopefully, you know, this rain dries up soon, because I'm looking forward to some beach days. I really am.
Yeah, look, it's been very unfair, and life is tough sometimes, but I reckon you'll be able to get through it. And if you're having trouble, come to us. We'll talk to you as a team. Sort you out, right?
Well, thank you so much, guys. I do feel better after that.
I've got an old beanie in the car if you want. You can borrow that.
If it makes you feel any better, you're not the only person that's whinged to me about the weather in the last 24 hours.
Who else has?
Two friends that have gone, the surf's bad this weekend and it's raining and it's blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay.
They're giving you all that yappity-yappity blah, blah. That's no good,
like,
is it?
Guys, I just read the weather. I don't make it. Sorry.
No, fix it, Kat. That's what I'm saying. Fix it now.
That is your job. Of course, we will be catching up with Jess in just a few minutes to get the local news lowdown, if you will. So you wake up with the Novos on your Feel Good Friday here at New FM.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at 5 with Jess.
Jess, I think this might be a typo. Newcastle police have charged a woman with driving more than 7 times over the legal limit?
Apparently, more than 7 times over the legal limit. So this stems from a car accident at Mayfield back in September on Maud Street. And the 41-year-old, she was taken to hospital for treatment, did all the tests that needed to be done. Yesterday, she got a little knock-knock at her front door from police.
Police, open up!
And it turns out she had a level of 0.354 when she was driving and was involved in that accident in
How
September.
Was she conscious?
Literally. I mean, like, literally.
So many questions, aren't there? You know, who was at fault with the accident, for example?
Excellent question.
I think we are to the bottom of that one. I mean, while you would never condone stuff, it's impressive she's conscious, isn't it? Really.
Like, how?
You guys have summed up all the questions around it.
And you know, like, there's like a whole kind of backstory that could be there, like, did she serve herself that much alcohol or did somebody give it to her at a bar?
Yeah. Well, true. It could be any of those combinations and we'll probably never know, to be honest.
Probably not. Probably the last you'll ever hear of this story, but, you know.
Extraordinary. It's got sad about that. Hey, switching gears a little bit, we've got a local power boating team who are taking it to the next level, yeah?
These guys are awesome. So Darren Nicholson's a part of this Lake Macquarie power boating team. They've been over to the US and competed in the world championships. Whoa. And they won it. Back here in Australia, we were lucky enough to host at Lake Macquarie the Australian Offshore Superboat Championships. They won that as well. And they're back over in the US now competing in the Race World Offshore World Championship, which they haven't competed in before. The first race was yesterday in Class 1 and they came first. And they've got 2 more race days to go.
I reckon they just have a faster boat. It's just what it feels.
It is so fast. Yeah. Like, look them up on Instagram. Like, their boat is just, it's amazing.
Question, when they go over to do these championships in America, do they, like, drive the boat there? Because it'd be so quick, right?
It would probably be quicker.
Yeah, I would think so. Not going through passports, immigration, standing in line, you know, check your baggage in, all that
I feel like
stuff.
It wouldn't be particularly comfortable.
Oh, I don't know. They're quick. You'd be there in a second. It's extraordinary. Look, hats off to them and congratulations for all the success already because they are killing it.
It's awesome.
Making our area look good as usual.
Keep on winning.
Yeah, exactly. And we do love a bit of Elon Musk chat on this show, don't we?
Need an Elon Musk alert.
I was about to say, I reckon I love Elon Musk as much, if not more, than Scott Chippy Frappell loves Taylor Swift.
Let's
be close.
It's a different kind of love.
It is.
We could always use his song that he wrote. Do you remember this? he released this song a few years ago when he wanted to be a DJ.
Really? Yeah. Elon?
Yeah, he's got so many careers and jobs, if you will. He's got the rocket company, he's got the car company, internet, X or whatever it's called.
He'd be a great Nova Castrian because he's got the Newcastle hustle down pat, doesn't he? He's got all the different side gigs going
side
on.
Side hustles on the go. Now, his latest one, of course, is Neuralink. Now, if you're thinking, we're scratching your head, what is that? Basically, what he wants to do, and he's already fairly far along in the process, is sell these little chips that you put onto your brain so then you can do things like browse the internet just with your brain.
Really?
No need for a phone, nothing like that. You can communicate with other people that have the Neuralink, so telepathy, which is something that just feels impossible, but will be possible. And what's amazing about this chip, right, is that a robot puts it in. So the surgeon does the little cut to open up your head, and then a robot puts it in the exact right spot. Well, that's what they're saying anyway. Now, you might be thinking, oh, this is all in the future. No, next year he's putting the first 11 in.
Wow.
So he's looking for people now. They'll get paid. You'll get a little bit of money. I don't know how much. He hasn't said that. To get one of these chips in your brain. Now, behind the scenes yesterday, we were having a how much money would it take. Stephen, you were saying, like, what, $500 or something, wasn't it?
No. I reckon $500,000.
You'd take a chip.
Yeah, I would. Because obviously there's inherently risks with being in that guinea pig group, if you will. So, like, you do want to make sure that there's, I guess, financial compensation for that risk. But also, like, I think that's the future. I think that's cool. I'd like to be part of that first batch.
To be, yeah, ahead of the curve. Like, followers would go way up on TikTok as well if you had one of the first neural links.
Yeah,
they?
Imagine. You could, like, document your story.
Yeah.
You however, Kath said, no way, no amount of money.
No deal. Doesn't matter, millions, whatever.
No.
But it's going to go so quick. You might go, oh, 11 people, that's nothing. By 2030, which is only, you know, six and a half years away, you're looking at 22,000 people are going to have these things. They'll be communicating with each other. You don't even know. And it's all happening secretly via telepathy.
I think you want to be closer to the front than to the last person to get it in. Like, because I imagine you have such FOMO if everyone's like, you know, you're in a room and no one's talking anymore because it's been made redundant.
Yeah, you don't need to talk anymore.
And everyone seems like they're having such a good time laughing and you're missing out on all the in-jokes because you can't hear the telepathic jokes going on.
It takes in-jokes to a whole new level, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Wow. I mean, the future is going to be extraordinary. If you think it's going to be dull, you're absolutely wrong. And I just can't believe how quickly it's happening. It's amazing. All incredible. All I can say is good luck to us. And if you're not on the, you know, get on the bandwagon quick. Because as Stephen said, you don't want to be missing out, do you?
No way.
The Novos.
The Novos. New FM. Feel good Friday.
I don't know about you, but I feel good.
And 2023 has been a pretty spectacular year for cinemas, really. A real purple patch. And another blockbuster is coming to your big screens this month. But not everyone's happy with it. Some people are critiquing it like you wouldn't believe. I want to talk a little bit about it in minutes here.
All right.
Well, let me give you something that will absolutely make you happy.
Okay.
Good morning to everybody in Dungog. It is Dungog Show Day.
Oh, there we go.
I love a good show, but at this particular show, there is pig racing.
That sounds fantastic.
I don't think anything could make you smile more than a whole lot of piglets racing.
Have you ever been to a pig race before?
I've been to a piglet race, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. You know all about it.
Yeah.
I've not seen one yet.
It's complete chaos. It's hilarious.
I love that idea.
Okay, here's my question for you. Do they run in like a straight line? Or is it like, you know how sometimes you get like a big out of circle that they've just got to get out of? Do they have like a 100-metre track? Does anyone know? Or is it just carnage?
I don't know how they do it at Dungog. The one that I've seen is that they were trying to run to the line and only one of them did.
Oh, absolute chaos. We'll get out and see that this weekend.
And I mentioned quickly before, but it's been a pretty fantastic year for the film industry. I mean, like Barbenheimer saw people come back to the cinema in droves.
Yeah.
And 2023 is not even done yet, because Ridley Scott's Napoleon is hitting the big screens later this month.
Now, just to clarify, this is the historical figure, not Dynamite, yeah?
No. So this is a historical drama that follows the life of the French emperor, of course.
Yep.
And the film, while not even being out yet, has already put Scott in conversations for an Oscar, an award that has eluded him so far in his career. Now, he thinks this is a pretty specky movie and asked if, you know, what he'd say if he did win an Oscar. He'd say, about effing time is his exact quote.
So yeah, about fun in time. Yeah,
he rates this movie pretty highly, but not everyone does. A TV historian, Dan Snow, has released a now viral TikTok. It's over 5 minutes long, and it's just picking apart historical inaccuracies in this new historical drama. So, I mean, stuff like, he talks in the TikTok about how Napoleon didn't shoot at the pyramids like it's depicted in the trailer. Or he talks about, like, the geographical orientation of battles and stuff like, oh, you know, they're facing northwest, not northeast, and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, he takes issue particularly with this quote, which is kind of like the centerpiece of the trailer, and it's Napoleon where he says, "I own my mistakes. I just never make any." And this guy Dan Snow is like, "Well, actually, everybody makes mistakes."
That person is talking like they've got a peg on their nose.
Now, when Ridley Scott's asked about what he thought of this viral TikTok picking apart his movie, he had one thing to say to Dan Snow, and it was, "Get a life." That's his exact quote. And I tend to agree. Like, when you go to the cinemas, sometimes you do have to, like, turn your brain off and just enjoy the movie for what it is. You can't sit there and pick it apart and, you know, you can't attack movies with logic.
Yeah. If you're taking a compass to a cinema to check the direction of a battle, jog on. Get a life is the perfect thing to say.
I agree. Now, he said if you want to really understand Napoleon, then you should probably do your own studying and research, because if you see this film, it's told through his eyes.
Of course.
So he's going to act like he's, you know, this big hotshot. And maybe that's not historically correct, but life is boring and cinema's meant to be exciting. So sometimes you have to embellish details. So like Ridley Scott, I agree to this Adam Snow guy, whatever his name is, get a life. Oh, God, unbelievable.
The Novo's Guide to the Weekend. Finding new fun stuff to do around the Hunter.
Plenty going on this weekend, as always. Big weekend for sport, particularly alternative sport.
Okay.
So we've got the Newcastle City Triathlon, which we spoke about earlier in the week. That's happening at the Newcastle Foreshore on Sunday. We've got the Fox Australian Supercross Championship also happening on Saturday. We're going to talk to Chad Reed about that very soon. And the Newcastle Open 2023 Jiu-Jitsu Championship is also on at the university. Definitely one to check out.
That'd be one to watch.
That's cool, yeah.
Very good. Pick of the gigs, John Stevens is doing his Noiseworks and In Excess Collection tour at the Toronto Hotel on Sunday afternoon. And Regurgitator is crushing it at King Street, Newcastle on Sunday as well. And a personal little party I think that Scotty will enjoy. There's a Taylor Swift 1989 party happening at the Gal on Saturday.
Oh, that is good. That's right up his alley.
It'll
Scotty
be there front and centre.
If you're into the markets, pick of the markets this weekend is Made and Found, happening at Redhead Beach on Sunday, and there's a lot of food trucks happening tonight as well.
Oh, get in amongst it. You know I love a food truck.
All right. My pick, I think, of the gigs, John Stevens. When he was here earlier this year for the supercars, phenomenal. He did what you said there, like an In Excess / Noiseworks, like collective set.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he was phenomenal.
And he's a really good performer. I mean, he's getting on a bit these days, as is everybody in those two
He's still got it, though, I'm telling you.
Yeah, proper rock star. Well, there we go. Thanks for that, Kath. Keeping us up to date and getting us ready for the weekend, which I love.
More details and more events will be up on the website later on this morning.
Damn! The Novos. The Novos. New FM.
Get that feel-good Friday feeling.
And this will give you the feel-good Friday feeling, if you will, because overnight, a new CBA, collective bargaining agreement, has been reached between the players and Football Australia. So, this sees the Matildas players' payment transition immediately from centralised contracts to match and commercial payments, which would put the Matildas in a position to earn an additional 80 to 100 grand a year.
Yes!
They deserve it.
Absolutely.
How good's that?
Yeah. I mean, I think Australia is so excited about the Matildas and everything they do now. Mm-hmm. There's been no one who's saying that this is not a good thing. I'm thrilled. I'm actually thrilled.
Six-figure pay rise. Absolutely stunning. They'll be eating well this weekend. Yeah. I'll tell you that for free. They'll be celebrating.
They'll go, like, you know, they're off to KFC or whatever. Anything on the menu.
They won't be eating 2-minute noodles.
Well, no. And what Kath's doing here is a segue, which I absolutely love. One of the smoothest I've seen. Lovely stuff, because next we are talking 2-minute noodles.
You see, it loses all the smoothness, though, when you stop and say, hey, that's a segue.
But it's a bit of fun to point it out. Now, 2-minute noodles. Stephen, you revealed something behind the scenes yesterday, which is outrageous. And we're going to reveal what Stephen does with his 2-minute noodles up next here at New FM. And yesterday we found out, Kath, something about Stephen which has shocked us both. I mean, I feel shocked to my core. You looked a bit shocked, but how shocked were you? Scale of 1 to 10.
Not shocked, disgusted.
No, that's worse than shock.
Even better description.
I was, for a split second there, I had a little bit of hope in my heart. I was like, Kat's going to come to my defence. And then just as quick as that glimmer was in my eye, it was ripped from me.
We are, of course, talking about instant noodles behind the scenes. Oh, how do you have your instant noodles, that sort of thing. It's all, you know, age-old discussion. You revealed that you love to slurp on the soup. The soup. Now, you say soup, I call it instant noodle runoff.
It's really just broth. I mean, it's not even soup. It's just, you know, water that's got crap in it.
Exactly.
Well, that's all soup, isn't it?
No,
describes every soup.
Here's what you were like, the soup's the best bit. You got to have the soup with it, all this sort of carry on. Yeah. And Kath and I were in disgust because once you... The purpose of the liquid in any kind of instant noodle, be it Mee Goreng, 2 Minute, Maggi, whatever it is to cook the noodle and then you get that liquid out of there as soon as possible.
No, because, like, instead of having it as, you know, perhaps a traditional Mee Goreng, have it similar to, like, a ramen noodle soup.
Oh.
I think it's so good. Like,
hang on, I've got one thing to play for you, and that is...
You are wrong.
No,
wrong.
Especially during rainy days like today, it's so nice to, like, curl up next to the telly and, like, have, you know, your little bowl with you, a little bit of soup to slurp on, your noodles to eat. I think it enhances the flavour. It certainly doesn't detract from it.
The flavour, it literally waters it down.
Correct. That's Kath gets it.
But it's good tasting water.
No. You're diluting the flavour. And furthermore, the clue is on the photo on your Mee Goreng packet. It's not in a big slurpy bowl of, you know, mud water. It's clearly, couldn't be any crystal clearer, has the water drained away. But this has divided this room, and we're not the only ones. We're doing a little research. Apparently, there's a few other people who like the soup, which I think is outrageous.
Well, another benefit to having it soup style is that you can cook it with all the flavouring stuff in it initially, and you don't lose that when you pour the water out. You keep all the flavouring in the dish.
Anarchy. The flavouring goes on after, but that's a different discussion.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
I want to take Newcastle's temperature on this. 4967-4105. Are you team Stephen? You love the soup? Or are you team correct, Kath and Crevo?
Oh, you can't frame it like that.
That you think the
yes,
soup.
You can.
You can.
Yes,
and the soup should be drained away. I mean, this is what we want to know. 4967-4105. Do you love the soup with an instant noodle or do you want to drain it away the correct
broth
way?
Or no broth. What is your choice, Newcastle?
To broth or not to broth? That is the question.
Let's go to North Rothbury. Good morning, Joe. Broth or no broth?
Absolutely, team broth all the way.
Come on, Joe. Yes, thank you.
Except for the vegetables in the 2 Minute noodles that just do not rehydrate. So it can just go away.
Okay. Well, I hereby then knight you, Joe of North Brothbury. That is your new title.
Oh, all right. That's awful. All right, let's go next to Thornton. Morning, Katrina. What are your thoughts, broth or no broth?
Definitely no broth.
Yes, thank you.
You got to drain the water, right?
Yeah.
You can't tick that. It's outrageous that you have control of the button bar.
You can't. Even Katrina says that. Congratulations.
Just have soup. Don't have broth with your noodles. You're making noodles.
Exactly.
Oh. Very well said, ma'am. Thank you.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Here, common sense on the radio,
I
Kath.
Know.
Oh, it's lovely. All right, to Cessnock next. Colin, what are your thoughts?
Well, look, here's the thing. Not only do I drink the broth, I also sometimes add a cup of noodles, a cup of soup satchel in there.
Yep. Why not? More dramas, more flavour.
No, you just...
And then it is a soup.
Absolute anarchy. And what are they doing out there in Cessnock? Are you like in some sort of broth club? What's going on?
Hey, listen, let me tell you. Technically, 2 Minute noodles are actually ramen noodles.
Huh?
You've been done by a technicality, Crevo. Unlucky.
You know what? I think I have, and I have to give Stephen one of these. Congratulations, Colin. It seems you're on the right side of broth history here.
Absolutely.
A win for Colin, a win for Cessnock. Kath, you and I can't believe we lost this one. It's a rough day, isn't it?
It's a skill issue, I guess.
It's a win for food, though. That's what it is.
The Novos. Feel Good Friday.
And if all this talk of 2 Minute ramen soup has got you starboard in the car, fear not, because it is a dangerous weekend to be a food truck in Newcastle and the Hunter. Tonight in town at the station, you can find Friday Night Feast.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds good.
If you're in Lake Macquarie at Matt Mima, you've got Friday Night Foodies. And tomorrow, as Crevo would say, God's Country, the Mayfield Mosque. You've got Mayfield Multicultural Festival and Food Fair.
Lovely.
So there is plenty to keep foodies happy all weekend. And God, just hit up one of those food trucks and treat yourself.
You can also get yourself a whole bunch of meat, $50 worth of meat, thanks to Singos. We're giving it away next with Celebrity Roulette, and I get to play this time.
Oh, I'm so jealous, but I'm happy to play as well. I'm torn.
That's it. It'll be all in just minutes here on UFM.
The lowest prices and the highest quality meat. Shop with Singo's Broadmeadow and enjoy the benefits. The Novos. Clickbait Roulette.
For your Feel Good Friday, $50 worth of meat from Singo's up for grabs.
Yes.
If you can figure out which of our three clickbait headlines is fake. It's a pretty simple game, really. I'll give you three headlines. You just need to tell us which one is fake and which two are
therefore real. Yeah.
And Stephen, who is an expert at this game because he usually runs this game, is going to help you. But he wanted to play today.
Well, so I feel like I've kind of handed you my baby. And I'm like watching it a little like tentatively. I love this game so much. I'm excited to be on the other side of the game for once, though, and see what it feels like to be in the dark and trying to work out and decipher which is the lie.
Yeah, it's basically two truths and a lie, and you can win $50 worth of meat for just deciphering it, if you will.
Yeah.
We need a player here.
4967-4105, give us a call, and the first person through gets to play with Stephen and potentially have a nice barbecue this weekend on Singo's.
That's a one in three chance. Pretty good. Call up now.
I am teaming up with Raylene from Lovedale. Morning, Raylene.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, good. I'm better now that I've got you on my team. You excited, ready to try and get one over Kath?
I am.
Okay, so what we'll do is Kath will read out the three articles. I'll be watching like a hawk, seeing if she like scratches her nose or plays with her hair or something like that. I can tell you all those visual cues.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you've got to try and figure out which one is the fake article. Crystal clear?
Yep, no worries.
All right, let's do this.
Take it away.
Clickbait headline number one. Gwyneth Paltrow shows off a nude Skims bodysuit in a very Kardashian mirror selfie.
Okay, article number one.
Number two. The Simpsons kills off a major character in a twisted episode that sees Lisa turning into a terrifying murderer.
Okay.
And number three. Taylor Swift and Olivia Rodrigo end their feud with a secret weekend retreat.
Oh, God, an eclectic mix of articles this morning, Raylene.
Morning. I'm leaning towards number two.
Okay, well, which one do you think of the three of them? So we've got Gwyneth Paltrow in the Skims bodysuit. We've got the Simpsons one, kill off of a character.
Yeah.
What was the third one again? Sorry, Kath.
Taylor Swift and Olivia Rodrigo ending their feud with a secret weekend retreat.
Raylene, do you think any of those are 100% true to make it a 50-50 for us?
I'm probably going to go the last one, maybe true.
Yeah, okay, so Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, they've squashed their beef. We're going to say that's true, which leaves us with Gwyneth Paltrow in the Skims bodysuit.
Or the Simpsons.
And the Simpsons killing off a character. Which one do you think is the fake article, Raylene?
I'm going to go the Simpsons just because Lisa's a goody two-shoes.
Okay, well,
it's time for the big reveal here. I'll give you a drum roll so you build a bit of suspense and a bit of fun.
Gwyneth Paltrow in her nude Skims bodysuit is true.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift and Olivia Rodrigo ending their feud with a secret weekend retreat is fake.
Oh no, so that means
the
you
Simpsons
haven't won.
Was true.
Oh, well.
Better luck next time. You played well, you played valiantly, but
thanks,
unfortunately,
Raylene.
You get nothing.
Your jackpots, though.
That's true.
We'll have more meat available next week. Thanks to Singo's. Ease the cost of living. Check out the great weekly special at Singo's Butchery, Broadmeadow. You've deceived me as well, Kath. Well done. It's not a playing against you.
It was good.
The Novos. New FM. Feel Good Friday.
Oh, I am feeling good for a Feel Good Friday. Another man I know is feeling good this morning is our very own Scott Chippy Frappell. You have What's the Goss coming up next. What can we expect? What's on the way?
Well, look, normally when you think of a tour announcement, it's going to be an Instagram post or maybe the front man of the band just saying something. Well, a big, big international band, they're coming down under next year, and along with their world tour, they've made the announcement, or the front man's made the the announcement by pulling off a daredevil stunt, and it's a bit weird. Let's talk about it next.
Oh, my God. This has me on the edge of my seat. I'm on tenterhooks. Other various sayings that express that I'm feeling excited about the whole situation. We'll do it next here on New FM.
The Nova Novos. What's the goss? New FM.
All right, Scott, what is on the way, mate? A new tour, new artist coming?
Yes, coming to Australia September next year is 30 Seconds to Mars. And oh. I love 30 Seconds to Mars. I think they're fantastic. The frontman, Jared Leto, he's announced that they're going on a world tour by, I kid you not, scaling the outside of the Empire State Building in New York.
Wow.
He's climbed to the top. The first man legally, or first person, I should say, legally in history to do it.
Did he have like a little rope thing or anything, or has he just done it free climb style?
Oh, no. He's had a rope, but he's been talking on the American version of the Today Show, and he's showing some of the battle scars that he got, because apparently there's some spiky points and it's a bit dangerous up there. Like, yeah. I wouldn't want to be doing it, not at all.
It sounds dangerous, but you wouldn't think like cuts and stuff would be what you'd get.
You would think so. No. You'd be too worried you're going to get stuck in the clouds or run out of oxygen or something. But no,
it's not that high.
It's pretty high.
Absurd.
Oh, come on. It's pretty high.
See, my fear would be falling, but okay, sure.
No, getting stuck in clouds is there or thereabouts as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm stuck. They're too sticky.
Imagine if it rained on you. To say, then
you'd probably do it on a sunny day.
Yeah, I don't know. I still wouldn't trust it. But I will give a shout out to the member of the Today Show that was that wrote the article about Jared Leto doing this. The caption is, Jared Leto from the band 30 Seconds to Mars got 30 seconds closer to Mars by climbing the Empire State.
That is a real Scott Tippy from Bell joke if I've ever heard it.
I read that and I thought that was fantastic. But going to something that I don't think is fantastic.
Uh-oh, what's happened?
Shrek 5. Now, I think...
What's wrong with Shrek? You don't like Shrek?
No, let's not get mistaken. Shrek 1 is a masterpiece. Shrek 2 is a masterpiece. Shrek 3 and 4 are down the gurgler. And it seems that an intern has leaked that a Shrek 5 is on the cards.
I'm pro this.
Yeah, so do I. I think the Shrek movies are fantastic.
Nah, it's got to go. Apparently, an intern for the show uploaded her resume to LinkedIn, and on it, it says Shrek 5 2025. So not only is it that a Shrek 5 movie is coming, it's that a release date or a potential release date is there.
Now, that's juicy.
How long's it been since Shrek 4? It would have been ages, right? I feel like we're far enough removed from those first four films that the fifth one, they'll be aware enough that they're now catering for an older audience.
You don't reckon?
Look, once you've had a series kind of go off the rails like this one has, it doesn't come back.
Okay.
A couple of skeptics in studio. I'm actually excited. I think they'll have a bit of tongue-in-cheek humour with it.
I agree with that. I think they're going to turn this ship around, if anything.
I don't think so.
All right.
No, I'm not convinced. And just quickly, news on Taylor Swift. Yes. I knew. But just quickly, if you were one of the 3.6 million Aussies who missed out on tickets to her shows, never fear. 10 o'clock today, you can jump on to Ticketek. They are doing some reselling of tickets, or they've opened up new tickets, but they're like obstructed views and stuff. Now, nobody knows exactly how many tickets there are or the exact prices. I'm hearing that they start from $79.90, and then from there, they only go up.
But of course,
it's first in, best dressed. 10 o'clock this morning, there's going to be an official Ticketek marketplace where you can resell your tickets for up to 10% higher if you no longer can go to the shows.
Interesting.
That's happening in a few weeks' time, but today, obstructed ticket views, they go on sale for Sydney at 10 a.m., for Melbourne at 4 p.m., get amongst it.
Oh, best of luck, Chip.
Yeah, good luck. You'll get one of the obstructed tickets. That means like a ticket behind a pillar or something, so you can't actually see anything.
Usually it's not that bad. Usually it's, you know, that you can see the side of the stage setting, right? So rather than having, you know, a nice kind of TV-like view, you can see the side of the stage or the back of the stage, and you might not be able to see the far side of it. So you don't usually miss out on the show. I went to U2 years and years and years ago. And I had obstructed ticket views, obstructed view tickets, and they were great.
Okay. So get on it. Yeah, Chippy, absolutely. Good luck, as Stephen said. We know you'll be doing your best to get one of those tickets, obstructed or not.
All right, team. One for the adrenaline junkies, I suppose. It's pretty exciting. The Australian Supercross Championship, round two, coming to Newey this weekend. I mean, they're going to pack out McDonald Jones Stadium. It's going to be, look, I'm actually really looking forward to this. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You are excited.
All the thrills and spills of it all. Yeah, it's so exciting. And
it is awesome, right?
And yeah, well, it is. And someone who knows better than most is Chad Reed, who joins us now. Morning, Chad. How's things?
Morning, guys. How you doing? And before we get too many people excited, I am actually not a competitor this weekend. I'm actually just more of an ambassador. But more than anything, I'm a dad. My 13-year-old kid is racing his first ever Supercross this weekend.
Oh, my God. That's so exciting. First of all, is there different nerves coming in as a spectator compared to when you do compete or when you have competed?
And so, obviously, I have 20-plus years of the racer nerves. And as a dad, I would equal it, you know, because it's not like I'm, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to go race Supercross. I've done this for 20-plus years of my life. And so I kind of know, you know, how stressful it is and how fun it is and all those kinds of things and the work it takes. So it's equal.
Indeed.
It's a different feeling, but it's equal.
I was reading that you started riding bikes at age 3. What age did your son start? Was it even younger? Are we talking 2? Are we talking 1?
So similar. He was on a bike about 3, but then for whatever reason, I probably contribute to my own personal, you know, racing and my career that was, we were so busy, you know, my wife and I traveling all over the United States and racing at the very highest level of the sport. And so I don't know if that just kind of put a dimmer on it and he didn't kind of pursue it much more than outside of just riding it. Mm-hmm. But then he was about 11, you know, since COVID actually. So COVID happened, kind of world shut down. So motorcycle racing in the woods and the bush and all these things was the only thing that you could do. So here we are. we're chasing the dream.
Awesome. So what event is he competing in?
So when I was a child growing up here in Aussie, at 12 years old, you could race Supercross. And for about the last 15 years, which we call the 85cc Cup, has not been participating. And so my involvement, and not for my son, but more just for the better good of the sport and, you know, the youth growing and learning Supercross at a young age, I think it's very important. And so anyway, it just happens to be that I have a 13-year-old kid that fits into that category. And so we brought it back. It's called the Chad Reed 85cc Cup. We had a race about a month ago in Adelaide, and it was so awesome. It was bringing back those vibes of a kid and just the excitement that you see on kids' faces when they get in there, you know, participate in 20,000 people.
Awesome. So what are we going to see this Saturday?
This weekend's going to be explosive, you know. We've got 4 different categories with the elite guys in SX1, SX2, and kind of just goes down and gets younger and younger. I mean, these kids are so lucky to get to race in what I call the night seat, you know, stadium. As a kid, I drove by it all the time, and I never got to do it. It was kind of like a pipe dream it's really awesome to see where the sport's at here in Australia.
And it must be, I mean, super exciting being a Novocastrian yourself or growing up here. Like you said, to see the excitement coming to Newcastle, what, in a nutshell, is the Supercross race? Like, how far do you race? Is it different distances? What's going on?
Yeah, so it changes, and I'm not 100% sure on what this weekend is, but I believe it's a Triple Crown event, which is kind of like typically around your kind of like your 10 to 15 lap explosiveness. So basically, Supercross is just, you know, it's a motorsport on a dirt bike in a confined field of like a football stadium that the Knights get to play on. So elbow to elbow, aggressiveness, technically, you know, rubbing is racing, but it's a contact sport and really, really, you know, exciting to watch.
And in a stadium, the crowd must get so close to the action.
Yeah, so my best way to put it is, as an athlete, you feel like you're in this fishbowl, right? Like you got everybody and they're so close to you. Sometimes it feels like they can reach out and, you know, touch you for good or bad. And yeah, as from an athlete standpoint, it's just unbelievable, the electric and the feeling that the crowd gives you when, you know, when something good or bad happens, you hear it and feel it.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it will be packed out at, as you like to call it, Chad, Knight Stadium, McDonald Jones, this weekend, round 2, all the thrills and spills. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Damn. The Novos.
The Novos. New FM.
Get that feel-good Friday feeling.
And a very special feel-good Friday. Good morning to Tyron in Cardiff, who gave me the most Newcastle post I have seen on Facebook in a while. He's moving and he has to sell his 80-ish surfboards that he's been using as a fence. Mate, you are a champion. If you are wanting to buy the 73 surfboards, 4 foam boards, 1 spirit dispenser board and a few half boards, you can find the post in Buy, Sell, Want, Maitland, Newcastle, Port Stephens and surrounding areas. You have to go and look at the photos because it really was. He does have the entire fence covered in surfboards. It's just fantastic.
I mean, cost of building at the moment is through the roof, right? The cost of materials is so high right now. If you're like, oh, my fence is looking a bit wonky, a bit ready to go, this might be like a cheaper solution to have a new fence and a bit of fun, right?
I wonder if any of them are still, like, water-worthy.
Rideable.
Yeah.
A couple of them look like they might be.
A couple from 80. How much does he want for them? It doesn't say negotiable,
No. It's $1,100 he wants.
That is cheaper than a fence. I can tell you right now, like, fence materials, if you want a nice timber fence or something, it costs you more than that.
Look, I think if you're a surfboard collector, you know, you'd be tempted to go and check it out.
Absolutely.
There's a couple there that, you know, like, not that I'm a massive surfer. I've got a lot of friends who surf, but they won't get me into the water. Side funny story, I'm actually a life member of the Tamarama Surf Lifesaving Club, and I won't be a lifesaver. But that's, you know, I've got a lot of friends who surf, and there's a couple of boards that I reckon are probably hard to find.
Yeah, right. A couple of rare ones in there. But
not overly rare, but certainly enough, you know, that you'd go and have a look.
Okay.
Might get a diamond in the rough or something like that. Yeah. You might get lucky.
I like that. Well, that's all excellent. Up next, a little bit of a, I guess, question for Newcastle. We want to find out about your accidents on two wheels. So, you know, motorbikes, push bikes, scooters, that sort of stuff. If you've got a great story, keep it locked and loaded as we wake up with the Novos at UFM. And you guys will be familiar with the folk band The Waifs. They're massive over in Western Australia. Obviously, that's where they're from, but they tour the world. Incredible band.
Mm-hmm.
In a bit of trouble, though, because the singer, Donna Simpson, she has had an accident on an e-scooter.
Oh, is she okay?
Yeah, they've had to postpone the tour because she was riding it along, right? And then a backpacker was confused which side of the bike path to go on. Different countries drive on different sides.
Yeah.
Hesitated. She's wobble, got the wobble going and clipped it and fallen off. And she's broken 2 ribs and actually, collapsed her lungs.
Oh, no.
Big trouble.
That is nasty.
Big trouble.
It takes forever to heal as well, stuff like that.
Exactly right. Ribs are so, because you can't really put a cast on them or anything, so it takes a long time. She is going to be all right. You know, everything's going to be fine. But what a disaster. Like, when you're on those e-scooters, there's a lot of potential for falling off.
And maybe really cynical, quite nasty of me, but I feel like one of the funniest things in this world, assuming that everyone's okay, is the speed wobbles you get right before the accident happens, before you crash. Like when you're riding your push bike as a kid, you're going too quick and then all of a sudden the handle start going up and down. And
it's always the best part of the funniest home videos, even though we don't do that anymore because it's not cool to laugh at people who have hurt themselves. But
when it's funny, it's funny. Help it, right? Funny you mentioned as a kid, for me, I was riding a regular scooter, right? I was with a friend and we were getting ready to go home from a trip to visit my godfather, right? My mate had one of those, I forget what that brand was, but they were like the very popular scooters.
Like a Razor scooter.
It was a Razor. It was a Razor. Yeah. Anyway, we found this bit of the concrete that had like lifted in the footpath and like perfect jump. Right? We kept taking turns jumping. We were waiting for our time to leave. And of course, like 10 minutes ago, I'd done like an amazing jump. Everyone was going crazy. Well, my friend, he was impressed. And I've clipped it like the edge of the concrete and stacked it so bad. Scraped my knee. Oh, the blood was running down my pants. I had to like try and quickly unpack my bag, try and find another pair of pants and like bandage it up. Blood everywhere. Absolute disaster. And this is what I wanted to do here. 4967-4105. Make me and Donna Simpson feel better. Have you had an accident on two wheels? So scooters, bikes, motorbikes, pushies, dirt bikes, that sort of stuff. What happened? Can you beat two busted ribs and a grazed knee? Of course, up for grabs, we've got the family pass the Australian Reptile Park to make you feel a bit better. Have you guys ever had any issues on two wheels?
Foolishly, as a kid, me and my brother, my grandparents used to live in this like cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
So we used to ride in a circle. It was like a little track around the cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
But we used to time each other, but the other person was allowed to try and like slow down your bike. So I remember as a kid, I was riding my push bike. My brother full stuck a stick through like the spikes of the wheels, the spokes of the wheels. Head over biscuit, and then just you eat gravel, don't you? You're pulling gravel out from your skin for like days. Ah, yuck.
I don't remember a bike accident, like a two-wheeled bike accident, but yeah. I went over on a trike. Remember, you used to have trikes on farms?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, there. Wow. Yeah.
Totally flipped it.
Wow. Okay, you're all right, though?
Yeah, I actually went under the bike, came out the other side.
That is a life flash before your eyes type
amazing.
Moment.
That's amazing. All right, this is what we're after. 4967-4105. First to Seahampton. Warren, what's your story?
Mate, I was a little bit late in getting my license. I was about 48 getting the license for me learners for a motorbike. And I had a postie bike. And, of course, I've been riding a few weeks and I knew it all then.
Yeah.
I tried to sneak past my car in the driveway between my car and a retaining wall. And I had the retaining wall on the left. Went too close to the retaining wall. It pulled my hand off the handlebar.
Yeah.
Made me lean back and, of course, lose your right hand on the accelerator. And when I've gone back, I've pulled on that. The bike's accelerated. It's done a wheel stand in the driveway, and I've got a steep driveway going down the hill.
Oh, my God. Are you all right?
Yeah, yeah. I've got the back spill, like, wobbles at the same time. Yeah. From side to side, then bang, straight over on top of me and gravel rush everywhere.
Oh, my. You got to be so careful.
Let's go to Brankston. Andrew, what was your crash?
Oh, I don't remember how it happened. I was riding on a friend's property one day and... Yeah, wake up and John Hunter 3 days later, airlifted by the Westpac.
Were there any, like, witnesses? Does anyone else saw what happened so you can relay the story?
No, I was found, like, 3 hours later out cold.
Oh, my God.
I feel like you're okay. Yeah, lucky to be alive, Andrew. That's extraordinary.
Wow, that is...
3 days later. You know it's been bad.
That is real bad. Yeah. All right, let's go to Greta finally. Sean, what's your accident on two wheels?
So in 2007, I was racing out at one of the local motocross tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I remember showing up at 7 o'clock in the morning. Next thing I know, I was waking up at John Hunterson with the last caller.
Oh, my God.
At 7 p.m. on the Monday night, so almost over 24 hours later, with a dislocated and shattered right wrist. So my right thumb was vertical to my arm. I'm sitting on top of it.
Oof.
That's not the right angle, is it?
That's not how it goes, man.
So, yeah, in the next 3 months, I've had nine surgeries. And to this day, it's still Dr. Brindley's worst ever wrist fracture that he's ever seen. And he talks speeches on it at medical conferences.
Wow, I mean, you're like the Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, you got a claim to fame there. Wow, that's an extraordinary story. And I guess on two wheels, be extra careful is the message here.
Or perhaps don't do two wheels.
Yeah, you can.
Half the wheels, double the caution. That's what I'm thinking.
The Novos. Feel good Friday.
Yeah, if you're hosting a party this weekend, you've got to remember the essentials. Make sure you got your drinks, make sure you got your snacks, including some chippies. And if you want some particularly special chippies, we talked about it yesterday on the show. Doritos currently are auctioning the last ever bag of their coriander-flavoured corn chips.
It closes today, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So as I refresh the page now, you've got 1 hour, 26 minutes and 55 seconds. So it's like 10 o'clock today.
54. 53.
Yeah, it's counting down. Now, these special chips, they are going to cost you a little bit. Current bid is $1,105. But this is going to reach out Australia. So, I mean, it's helping youth mental health.
$100 since yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's it. I think people,
is
what they
do. Is it going to be one of those ones where it goes up, like, massively in the last couple of minutes?
People are waiting. They're waiting to, like, the last 20 minutes, last 5 minutes, trying to snipe it. Yeah.
Sniper's going to snipe is the message there.
But what I'm saying is just, you know, PSA, 10 o'clock is when this auction wraps up if you want to get your hands on the last ever pack of coriander Doritos.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. Guys, you sent me out to Maitland Jail. Being the Maitland resident that I am, I went out with Jess to check out a new tour that they have. We'll tell you all about it soon.
Speaking of snipers going to snipe, you'll get a little bit of, that's a little clue for you up next here at New FM. And as our Maitland representative, we sent you out on an assignment to check out this new tour happening at the Maitland Jail. Here's what happened.
Hey there, it's Kath from the Novos, and we're out at Maitland Jail with Jess to find out all about their new experience. It's a tower experience. So it's like a tour, but you get to do this extra bit where you go up on the tower and walk along the catwalk.
The tower experience part of the new tour at Maitland Jail starts by going through this big steel door and up a tight spiral staircase. It's absolutely worth the climb, though, with the catwalk offering amazing views of Maitland and a really unique vantage point of the jail. You can see how small the jail actually is and how crowded it must have been when it was full of prisoners. At the end of the catwalk, there's a guardhouse, and you can see through glass in the floor one of the preserved wooden staircases that, I've got to tell you, I wouldn't be climbing. Jess spoke to Zoe Whiting, the heritage interpretation specialist at Maitland Jail, about the new tower experience.
Zoe, we're here at a part of the jail that I have never been to before for a new tour that you guys are opening. Tell us all about it. So the tower tour is the first time that visitors will have the experience to get up into the towers and along the Maitland Jail catwalks, and the first time to explore some new layers of the Maitland Jail history as we're up here from a beautiful vantage point.
Yeah, because the Maitland Jail has been open for a number of years for tours looking back at the history of the jail and all that sort of thing to the public. So I guess, you know, a lot of locals have been here and done that before, so this is an opportunity to see the jail from a totally different perspective.
Absolutely, yeah. This is the first time that you'll be up in the air, so you not only can see the entirety of the jail from up here and get context as to where buildings fit in sort of the layout, but it also allows you to see where the jail fits in the context of East Maitland, which was the first government town in our area.
Yeah, so tell us about the tour. It goes for about an hour?
Yeah, about an hour. So you'll come up the stairs in Tower 1, and you'll be with a tour guide the whole time, and they'll talk to you about a range of different things, like when the towers were constructed, the construction process, how they were decided and what security purpose they were installed for originally, and then talk about how that's changed over time and how weapons were introduced into the armed posts that these became, target practice, a whole heap of fun things.
Stories you may not have ever heard before. Apparently there was a riot at the jail that I didn't know about that you'll learn about.
Yes, absolutely. We do talk about the riot, just the unrest in New South Wales generally, and how that sort of filtered to Maitland Jail and what the outcome of that was, but I'm not going to give anything away just yet.
So, what did you think, Jess?
That was awesome. I've been to the jail so many times growing up, but never seen it like that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun up there. A couple of advice notes. It isn't accessible at the moment. You do have to go up that spiral staircase, but it is absolutely worth it if you're into a little bit of heights, and you are walking on a wall, right? You're not walking on a catwalk that's suspended over nothing.
The new tower experience at Maitland Jail has cost around $700,000 to develop, funded by Maitland City Council and Destination New South Wales. Tickets for the new tower experience are on sale from today, with tours starting December 7. Find out more at maitlandjail.com.au.
We are wrapping up the show here, though, but before we
done
do,
for the week.
We've got a few things. What are you up to, Kath, this weekend, etc.?
Well, I'm working most of the weekend, but tonight there's another big drop of Fortnite, and we'll have another map. It's moving a season or two ahead. Oh, I don't really know what we're going to get. So, you know, I might be a little bit tired tomorrow.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So you're on tomorrow morning, but yeah. Is it an all-nighter job? Sleep after
the
shift?
Well, it depends. This update shouldn't be as big as the last one. So the last one, it was like a five-hour downtime. It didn't come back until kind of midnight. I think tonight will be a little one, like it'll be back in about 90 minutes, which means I should get a couple of hours play before I have to go to bed.
Ah, okay. Good. Well, that'll be good. Then at least like you get a little bit of
but
rest.
All Saturday afternoon is blocked out in the diary.
No disturbing Kath. No disturbing Kath. Before we do, we, of course, have to give away our prize of the day. Right, Stephen?
Yeah, we've got a family pass. These Australian Reptile Park. We're going to give it to Sean in Greater. We were talking about your accidents on two wheels. He had an unbelievable motorbike story. If you didn't hear it, you'll have to catch up on the podcast later.
Exactly right.
Netflix.com.au or whatever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that.
It's everywhere. That is us done for today, though, and we'll see you Monday. Catch you then.
Take it easy.
Bye.
I've been listening to your show on the radio.
You've been listening to the Novos. Would you like some more?
Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
or newfm.com.au to get more now.